Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word, that we would understand it, that we would apply it to our own situation, wherever our situation finds us today. We want to take the word of God and we want to live it. We want to model it. We want to be examples of, we know that you want us to live differently. You don't want us to be like the rest of the world. So, Lord, to this end, we pray this would not be an exercise in futility. The word of God, it's living, it's sharp, it's powerful. It'll cure what's ailing us. Well, Lord, fix us here this morning. We're listening. I pray that you just speak to the deep places of our heart where only you could go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Chapter 6, and you're saying, good, man, we've done that miserable marriage stuff. Well, I didn't say that. And, along those lines, let me just add one thing. I've said a lot of things, and my thinking is this. If your marriage is terrific and you do what the Word of God says, it's going to be terrificer. If you don't, if you're struggling, you're going to still struggle. If you're applying the Word of God, it will cure what's ailing you. Now, I say this. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and a lot of people think, no, God's Word isn't God's Word. I have a better idea. And they're still struggling. And if you think you're smarter than God in any venue of Scripture, no, God doesn't quite have it. I know better than Him. That's the area that you're really struggling in, 100% of the time. Now, I said before, if you apply these things to your marriage, they're going to work 100% of the time. It's God who put us together, knows what we need. So we're talking about submissive wives, and we're talking about loving husbands, and that speaks to exactly who we are. Women are not generally submissive. Men are generally selfish and not loving. So that's what our spouse needs of us, and it's what we need, and God has just wonderfully hit the nail right on the head and said, this is how marriage is supposed to work. You apply that, it'll work great. If you're starting to apply it, you can see your marriage starting to get better, only every single time. Now, there's one more thing I just want to add while I'm thinking about this. I don't know if we talked about it or not, because I don't remember everything that was said. Listen. Learn how to forgive. If you really want your marriage to be absolutely indestructible, if you really want your marriage to be just unassailable, learn how to forgive from your heart. You're going to need that. Take that right to heart. As a matter of fact, you want to be a forgiving, merciful person anyway. The other alternative is bitterness. You don't want that. But learn how to forgive from your heart, because I don't care who you're married to. You're going to need forgiveness. You're going to need to learn how to apply forgiveness to the situation, only all the time. Now, we're in chapter 6, but we're going to still be a little bit about marriage, because none of these verses are in a vacuum. We started off, we talked about being Spirit-filled, and then we read through that twice in a row. I'm not going to do that, but I want to show us where we're headed here, okay? Because these verses, they build one on top of another. Nothing's in a vacuum here. It's just continuity. We're Spirit-filled wives, we're Spirit-filled husbands. Now we're going to be talking about Spirit-filled children and Spirit-filled moms and dads. And then we're going to go on to Spirit-filled employers or employees, or if you want, servants and masters. And we're getting to chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, I'm going to stand against the wiles of the devil in the power of my own strength. That's a bad idea. Oh, that's a very, very bad idea. We need spirit filled for that. If you want to be the mom and the dad you're supposed to be, we need spirit filled for that. If you're going to be the child that you want to be, you're going to need to be filled with the Spirit, okay? So that's where we're going. Okay, first three verses of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that I may be well with thee, and that thou mayest livest long on the earth. We're going to just look at those three verses here this morning. You're saying, children, this is the adult service. Well, we're all somebody's children. So where does this find us? And where do we draw the line between obedience, abject obedience, doing what our parents say, to honoring? Where's that line drawn? And by the way, you know, whether this be the adult service or whether it not be, we don't skip verses. So if you want to, like, you know, you got kids and they're in the other class or something like that, get a recording and play it for them later on, whatever. Four times in Scripture, only four times in Scripture, God deal directly with children, speaking directly to them. You want to look at them? I knew you did. So let's go there in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And this is, I think, what is being quoted here. In Ephesians 6, Exodus chapter 20, and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, it's in the ten, what we call the Ten Commandments. It's the first one that has a promise. Like, you know, he says, don't have, in verse 3, don't have any other gods before me. There's no promise, that's just it. Don't worship other gods. Okay? Look at verse 4. Don't build any new ones. All right? Yeah, there's no promise. It's just don't do this and don't do this. You know, the first time we get to a promise, we're looking in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Why? It's going to promote longevity. Now, the promise here is not a promise like, if I obey my mom and my dad, I'm going to live to be 127 years old. It's not saying that. Is there accident, crib death? Are you a godly mom who's already, you know, buried a child? Yeah, that can happen. We're not talking about, it's not saying this is going to make you 10 foot tall and bulletproof forever. No, it's not saying that. But what it does is this. Listen, obey your parents in the Lord, because I tell you what the thing is generally speaking, your parents are telling you things that promote longevity. Do your parents tell you to chain smoke? No, they generally don't. Do your parents tell you to go out and get drunk and then practice your driving and, you know, see if you can, how well you do? They generally do not do that. Do your parents tell you have unsafe sex with a multiplicity of partners? They generally do not promote any of those behaviors that would decrease your life. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this before, and I only found it out because someone from Christian Mutual was trying to sell me a life insurance policy. But Christians live 10 years longer than the average. Yeah, we have a 10-year longer life expectancy. You say, really? Yeah. Doesn't that make sense? Generally, you're not chain smoking. Generally, you're not drinking huge amounts of alcohol. Generally, you live in a stress-free. When you get really tense, what do you do? Well, if you're like me, you pray. You pour your heart out to God. Stress will kill you. Oh, my goodness, stress will just take years off your life. Do we have stress? Oh, yeah, what do you do? I don't know. I go see God. Lord, I'm really, you know, antsy about this situation. I'm really nerved up. What happens? Peace of God, which passes all understanding, kind of invades my life, envelops me, and the stress kind of goes away, doesn't it? If we're living life the way God tells us to live life, it promotes longevity. And your parents, even if they're not godly parents, we'll talk about ungodly parents, because that's another whole thing. And by the way, this church, we had more than our fair share of them. It's crazy to me, because, you know, we're presupposing here, when we're saying, you know, hey, obey your parents, we're presupposing your parents are good people. That's not always the case. You know, we're dealing with, like, abuse issues in here. We're dealing with abandonment issues. We're dealing with just psycho crazy. We're dealing with, like, everything from non-caring to, like, dads who are, like, you know, too committed to work and too committed to making a living that they didn't have any time for their kids. I mean, so we're having, like, all types of situations here. The Bible here presupposes, and he's talking to the children of Israel, right, who would have children and hopefully ostensibly would love their children, but we don't, that's not always a given anymore, so we'll deal with that a little bit. But here, and I just want to emphasize this, honor. It's not saying obey, abjectly do everything they tell you to do, because like when we talked about submissive wives, there was always a caveat. You're not being submissive to bullying. Is your spouse physically abusive? I mean, taking swings at you? That's illegal. I never would tell a wife that. I have known pastors who have done that. Well, you don't have an out. You just live in that situation. I always think a pastor should live in that situation. Have an abusive spouse, a guy who just beats him up all the time or something, if he's going to give a spouse that sort of No, I'm not saying that. I mean, the caveat about, being a submissive wife was that, you know, you got a husband who is not psycho crazy guy. This is the same situation. You know, we're honoring our father and your mother, but it's not talking about like, and the other thing too is I'm 57 years old. At what point does I say, yeah, Mom, I understand what you're saying. I love you. I honor you. No, I'm not going to do what you said. I mean, listen, if I did what my mom said, I wouldn't be here doing this. I mean, she's not really on board. Yeah, I got a radio program. I say, you guys know that. I think everyone here knows that, right? Has my mom ever listened to my radio program? I don't think so. She certainly hasn't commented on it. If she had her way, I'd be in, you know, the speaking Latin, wearing a dress, and you know, domino nabisco, and away we go. And at some point, you got to say, love you, honor you, no. And I'm not saying that's a dishonorable thing. Now let's look at it before we lose our momentum here. Let's go into Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's interesting to me. It's kind of like, it's saying the law again, and that's what the name of the book is, Deuteronomy. It's the again law. It's kind of like the restating of the law. It's chapter 5, and they're at Horeb here. But in verse 7, he says, you know, about having no gods before me. Don't make any graven images in verse 8. Look at 12, keep the Sabbath day. And then we go all the way down to verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Well, why would we do that, Lord? That thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Give me a life that I can bless, God says. Give me something that's blessable. I want to bless. I want to, you know, all things being equal, I want to be the blessing God. I don't want to be the, you know, cloud up and rain all over you God. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, we read it again, the third of the four verses that we're looking at, where it's addressed entirely to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Here it's calling for obedience, but it's qualifying it, saying, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, see, here's the problem. This is the rub. Now, because like if I were to obey my mom, it wouldn't be in the Lord. It would be away from the Lord, away from the things that I know that I'm supposed to be doing. So that's the caveat, that's the qualifier. Obey your parents in the Lord. You can't make your children steal, or you shouldn't be able to. The problem is if you do something, if you're psycho dad, you know, if you're, we had a duplex in Boston, and she won't hear this. The next door neighbor lady, she was a thief. She had her kids, like, you know, put cereal up in their winter coats and stuff like this and walk out the store with, and they'd always, you know, brag, you know, we got four boxes of Kaboom cereal. Do they sell that anymore? It was like sugar-coated sugar. It was really something. It was just, you know, it's something you never want to put in your mouth and swallow, because it costs a lot and stuff, and she's making her kids steal for her. That's a fail. Mom, you ain't getting no Mother of the Year awards if you're making your kids steal. But they should have said, and you can't expect an 8 or 9 year old to say, Mother, I won't do that. That is wrong. That goes against the commandments of God. See, that's the problem. That's the hard thing. If you're old enough to understand this though, I want you to obey your parents. You say, still in the Lord. Because if your mom says, if your mom, who's your, especially if you got godly parents, they're always going to be a source of wisdom. If you're, you know, if your mom sees something that you've posted on Facebook about your drinking escapade or your extramarital something or some crazy thing, and your mom says, hey, honey, you shouldn't be doing that, and you still should obey your parents in the Lord, that's always a good thing. Obey, for this is right. This is the reason. It's right. It's right to obey your parents. Again, we're talking about parents in the Lord, right? That's the qualifier. When your parents tell you something, this is what the Word of God says. You should do that. You should obey them. Does he give an age here? No, because here's what I'm thinking. At 56, I'm still in honor mode. Maybe not obey. Obey in the Lord. If mom was saying, you know, I know what the Bible says, and it says you should not speak so harshly to your wife, I would say, yeah, you're right about that. And I would have to, you know, like, oh, whatever it was. I mean, mom's not going to see me speak harshly to my wife. I mean, that ain't going to happen. But whatever she, you know, she caught me doing that was wrong, This is what it's talking about. Honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with promise. Now the last, and I told you there was four. Look at Colossians. If you're going towards the back of your Bible, Philippians, then Colossians. And if we look at the third chapter, and by the way, verse 6, and if the word of Christ dwell in you richly, what's going to happen after that? Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Being thankful. Then it goes, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You think, well, just that, we get rid of that one Ephesians passage, we're all set. No, it's all through Scripture. It's all through Scripture. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, if I get rid of that Ephesians passage, no. It's all through Scripture. And then we go verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And the caveat there is doing the things that please the Lord. Ostensibly, obeying your parents is pleasing the Lord if your parents are right and normal and healthy and good. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Why don't we obey our parents naturally? And why? Did you notice about your children that you didn't teach them how to lie and they learned, picked it up on their own? Who gives kids lying lessons? Do they lie? Oh, yeah. Who gives kids, like, you know, selfish lessons? Mine! You know, and they hit their brother with the rattle and whatever it is. Who teaches them that? I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said that children are curly, dimpled lunatics. And I think, like, okay, he must have had some kids. I always thought they were little midget demons running around our house just acting crazy, and there's no chance of us ever owning anything that's worth anything, because they'll break it. And we figured that out too, because, like, you know, we were mom and dad one time, and we had the kid gates, and we had the right apparatus in the car to move them around, and we had locks on the drawers, and we had them little plastic plug-in things that stuck in the outlets so they couldn't get their little fingers in there. And then when you wanted to vacuum, it took like we were prying on them things for a half hour cursing, why can't we use any outlets in the house? We did all that stuff too. And then they grew up, because when your kids are in like the 7th and 8th grade, you don't need them little plastic things in your outlets anymore. You don't need little child gates. They can climb right over them when they're in the 7th grade. It's not a problem. So we got rid of all that stuff. And then we had grandkids. What showed up? We had the little plastic things, you know. We got the drawers that don't open all the way so they can't get the, and, you know, all the, you know, medications go. No, we don't take a lot of medications. But, I mean, even aspirin, you know what I mean? We got to stash that away, way up where little hands can't reach it. You know, all that stuff that we had, you know, put away. Because then we talk to each other about this. We're going to own a lot of good stuff, because, you know, kids are just crazy. They just, you know, they for some reason he's carrying a screwdriver in his back pocket when he jumps on, you know, new leather couch, and just they tear up your stuff. So we knew all that stuff. So we were thinking, like, you know, we're going to be grandparents, so we're never going to own things that are like, because, and then by the time, you know, our grandkids get to be the point where, like, they ain't tearing stuff up again. We'll get a few year reprieve, but then it'll be great grandparents, and we'll be right at it again. So they're terrorists, okay? We give birth to terrorists. Did you know that? Did you understand that? Oh, my little darling, they would never. Yeah, Mom, get a grip. You know, if you're going to be reasonable, where's your husband? I'll talk to him. They're crazy people in your house, aren't they? You know why that is? They're born with Adam's sinful inclination. You don't have to teach them how to lie. You have to teach them how to tell the truth. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You have to teach them how to share. Why is that? They're born sinful. Like, people don't believe this. I'm thinking, like, this is the most verifiable fact in the whole Bible, that people are sinful. Now, Satan, remember, chapter 6, verse 10. My brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is that important? Yeah. We have an adversary. He's seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour your children. My Moms are saying right now, over my dead body. Dads are saying right now, no, over his dead body. You won't be coming around here, Satan. Hope you have that feisty, that warrior spirit that says, not here, not now, not ever, not in my house, Satan. No way. He thinks he has a claim on your children. Why? They're born Adam's sinful race. They're descendants of, look at Satan make his case before God. They're wicked. Look at them. They're sin sick. They're depraved. They're wicked. They're mine. You are, as parents, and we'll get more into this next week. We're going to cross between being parents and having parents. We'll go back and forth because that's where life finds us and most of us. You are building, as parents, warriors for the kingdom. Don't build them. They'll be slow freight. They'll be easy marks. Satan will pick them off very, very, very easily, only all the time. Now, the world is not aiding and abetting us as far as parents. They are up to a point, a very small point. Because, you see, when we get the baby home from the hospital, they'll bring a nurse out with, you'll pull you out in one of these little wheelchair things, and you're holding the baby and stuff like this, and they won't let you get in the car unless you get the right apparatus to take them home. And if you do this, and you put in right, they say, oh, you're a very good mom, and they'll show you how to do, breastfeeding, how to clean the baby, how to do the things, and you want to do all those things, and you want to buy all the things that you have to buy for the baby. We get that, and they applaud that up to a point. Now, when they start going to public school, especially if they go to public school, they say, okay, mom, cool your jets. I want you to rubber stamp everything that we say is supposed to happen. God, you can take him to church if that's what you do for entertainment because you have some sort of, idea about some funky, traditional, that's okay, You like to go and sing hymns and watch some guy in a dress and whatever. That's fine. But if you think that really translates out into your everyday life, come on. Really? We're going to teach the kids how to be citizens of the world. And we're going to talk to them about carbon footprints and important things like the global vision and it's not very important that you just kind of bow out. Oh, keep them, make them do their homework and keep their nose wiped and stuff like that. But other than that, we don't need you, except you come to the parent teachers thing, tell us what a great job we're doing. And listen, it's game on. The public school teachers, by and large, are not winning tools of Satan. They don't say, I'm going into public education because I want to be used by Satan to promote his agenda. That never happens. They're just people. They're your next door neighbors. They probably have nice lawns. They don't have loud, crazy parties. They might be very nice people who have an agenda, and it's not God's agenda. And the battle is on. And you know why I'm going on like this? Remember where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands? And the first thing I said, this has got to do with wives. Husbands, tune out, shut up. Do never say to your wife, the Bible says you're supposed to submit to me, you ignorant slob. Knock it off. But when this here, when we're talking about children, especially very, very young children, doesn't that kind of presuppose that you're going to talk to children about, hey, you have to obey me, I'm your dad. You have to do the things I say. You're on loan from God. I'm gonna give an account to what I did as far as, being mommy, as far as being daddy. It presupposes you're going to talk to your children. Do your children, like when they're 3 or 4, do they read Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5? Are they really conversant with Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians, the third chapter? No, you have to teach them those things. As far as, why did I say we're not done as far as mommy and daddy are concerned? I mean, as far as husband and wife are concerned. Because we're bringing up kids, the best, most godly, most wonderful thing you can do for them outside of introduce them to Jesus Christ is have a happy, godly marriage. Wives, you want your little girl people in your house, you want them to succeed at marriage. Show them a submissive wife. I'm just going to let that catch up and let you absorb that. Okay, no one threw anything at me. But you're seething. But that's the best thing you can possibly do for your daughters. Men, show them a husband who's so sacrificial to their wives that it's all about you all the time. Show them that. They will marry successfully. They will do great. The best thing you can do for your children is show them a happy marriage. The best thing you can do for your children is show them a godly, happy marriage. We had one lady at work, and she had a couple of kids, and she remarried, like a lot of people do, and that wasn't in of itself bad. And the guy she was married to before, if you believe what she kind of run him down pretty hard, but I guess he, if you believe half of what she said, good riddance to bad garbage. Is that sometimes the answer? God puts a caveat in Scripture where it's okay to get a divorce. Make sure you follow those prescriptions. By the way, check with someone who you respect a lot. I'm talking about your silly little Facebook friends who, no matter what idiot thing you put out there, they're going to say, yeah, I like it, it's wonderful. Yeah, infidelity is great, yeah. Talk about somebody who knows the word of the Lord and who will not afraid to tell you, hey, you're being an idiot, dude. You need people like that in your life. You have to have... I want people to be able to tell me. I have friends. I have elders. I have a board, right? I have guys who love me who can say, that's a stupid idea. I need those people. Why? The Bible tells us that, the way of a man is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Why? Because we have these built-in blind spots. We need each other. We need that accountability. Got to have it. So when you're getting divorced for godly reasons, because the Bible says you can, and there's been such a betrayal of trust that you'll never be able to get over it. And I always think the best thing is forgiveness, because I know a lot of people who have gotten over it and are doing fabulously good, thank you very much. That's what you want to do. That's the godly thing. But sometimes, at some point you got to stop cheating on me. At some point, I'm willing to forgive, but can you stop? You're introducing viruses and nasty things in our house and other people or here when I'm... at some point, isn't that a good answer too? So anyway, she got divorced, right? And that's all I'm saying about that. And she was talking, and she got remarried to a nice guy I know. And she was talking about how it's all about the kids, the whole life's about the kids, 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 kids. I said, well, actually, it was me and another guy there, right? Because I don't generally talk to ladies about one-on-one about anything, really. But there's another guy that said, actually, and I felt like I should say it, it's really about your husband. Oh, no, the kids come first. I thought, really? They're not coming in at all if you don't show them a happy... This is what a happy marriage looks like. This is what a godly marriage looks like. It's all about my one flesh relationship. That's the most important thing. You ain't showing them anything. You're showing them wrong things. Listen, don't stand up and say yes or anything like this, but think about in your heart of heart. You want your children to have the marriage you have. Yes, yes, I do. We do. Does he? Yeah, he's married well. He's doing good. Yeah, we do. We do want them. No, I don't really. Well, it's yeah. What is that? Well, and the other one always blames the other one. Well, if he or she would just straighten up, stop it. We already visited that. I have the worst wife in the world. You say, not me. So, I'm going to be the best husband. Half of my marriage is perfect. That's how I feel about it. And by the way, guys, leader, take that Mount Everest climbing spirit you have in you, that incredible can do everything, and put that narrow beam, that testosterone-laden, I can accomplish anything, and point it at your marriage. You can do incredible things unilaterally. You just can. Will your wife catch up? I believe most women will respond to be in love like Christ loved the church. I believe it. Back to the thing, though. So here we are. We're bringing up children to nurture admonition of the Lord. We want them to obey us. You know what? The kids have a nasty habit of growing up. And then, you know, they'll out you. You can say, like, you know, I've said here, like me and Suze, we've read the Bible like 10 years in a row, at least 10, maybe 12 years, with the whole family. Every night after supper, we get together in the living room, we read the Bible through. And if we missed because somebody was at, you know, basketball tryouts or something like that, then we'd make it up. So we'd get through the whole Bible in the year. We did that like 10 or 12 years in a row. Now, am I telling you the truth? Ask Mike. He's an adult. The kids have this nasty habit of growing up, and they will tell you exactly what kind of parent you are. Now, maybe he'll dime me out, maybe he won't, but I have an idea. He'll tell you that. Yeah, no, he was a good dad. He loved us. Mom, she was insane. She was always trying to bless us. She was taking us here and there. And she always, you know, during summer vacation, we'd go biking and we'd go exploring and we'd go off to the coast and we'd do all these things. Because it's true. She did all that thing. She's like pouring her life into the kids because she knew that there was only such and such. Can I give you something, you people who are still negotiating the child rearing years? It's only lasts for a week or two, it seems like. It was just, we brought them home from the hospital, and now they're getting married. You know, it's like, what happened? Buy up all the opportunities, because it goes by so fast. And some of you who are like me and nodding say it goes by super fast. That one flesh relationship, that marriage, that's going to be, when the kids say, bye, see you later, we're still going to have that. Yay. You know, then, again, round two. Grandparents, brace for impact. Great stuff, right? But we knew the kids were on loan. They weren't going to be there forever. They come in our house, these little strangers, and they're just passing through. We can make an impact their lives, impress upon them, and then they're gone. We're going to teach them how to be soldiers of the cross. We're going to teach them how to fight the good fight. We're going to teach them how to warfare against Satan, and then they're going to be gone. And how do they do that when they're very, very little? Just obey mom and dad. They're Teflon. All they can do is do everything we say, and it's easy capeasy. They're standing. They're doing the right thing. After a while, the temptations, when they start going to school and stuff, they become more ferocious. They get, you know, when they go to kindergarten, they get a little kindergarten temptation. They go to first grade, they get a little first grade temptation. And it kind of like, but it builds. And each year, like the temptations. And how long is it before they're being exposed to pornography and people are after them to want to have sex with them and all this stuff. And so we're pouring into them, we're training them, we're teaching them the Word of God, we're showing them a loving commitment one to another, we're showing them what a good, healthy marriage looks like, and we're telling them, we're teaching them, we're showing them. And if you haven't done it right, they'll out you on it. They'll say, oh yeah, Dad, he speaks a good game. He's always talking about how he was always there for Mom, how he was always not selfish. Let me tell you about my dad. He sat there and he ate this thick old steak, boy. It could feed like, you know, Guatemala for a month, and he ate that, and we had crackers, and that was it, and he didn't care, and he had a nice bass boat in his big truck, and we were just in rags. And they'll out you. They'll tell you how it really was. And you can tell me, oh, I'm doing wonderful, I'm doing great with the kids and stuff like this, but like I tell you, when they're very, very, very young, you're God to them. I mean, think about this. Like, you know, a newborn baby, they got a mom that they latch onto. They get all their nourishment, they get all their comfort, they get changed and all this stuff, and mom is to them God. At some point, that becomes more dad. Usually after they start eating food and stuff, Dad, the mysterious, he comes home at night and he, you know, he has a deep voice and he, you know, kind of rules the roost. Not in a bad way. I'm not talking about in some authoritarian czarist way. I'm just talking about, you know, Mom defers to him, you know, and you run up and you see him, Daddy, and he hugs you and he gives you gold coins and I mean, little chocolate ones. And he just, you know, gives you a puppy and blesses you and just, you know, does everything you want, and he's great, and you ride around on his shoulders, and he's Superman. Later on, he'll get demoted to, like, Popeye or some secondary superhero, but at the beginning, he's the biggest, best, handsomest, smartest, best daddy in the whole worldwide world. But then they grow, and they understand some stuff, and then you're just, like, you know, the hero. And then if it progresses like it really should, then you're just, like, a really good dad, someone who they love, someone who they admire, someone who they respect. But God's creeping in, and God's taking the place of you guys. And that's how you want it. You always thought that I want to teach them about the Lord. He's their eternal dad. I'm just their temporary on this earth. Remember that brick thing, small place, little narrow window of time? I'm there, that dad, for now. Should you teach them respect? Should you teach them to revere their mom? Oh, yeah, you got to teach them all that stuff. You got to teach them a trade. You got to teach them how to change a tie. You got to teach them how to do all the stuff that you're supposed to teach boys and girls. And the best thing you're going to do is you're going to model a happy home. I remember when Mike was, you could tell me better, I think you were in about the fourth or fifth grade, and he came home one night from school, and he was all upset, and he was wearing it like you could, hey champ, what's the matter? You and mom getting a divorce? I don't think so, bud. I kind of like her a lot. I think I'll stick it out, and I think we'll stay together. Why do you ask? Everyone in my class is divorced, except one other. I can't even tell you who it was, the other. And he had a class of 22, 23 kids, and they were all divorced. Every one of them was divorced. They were all, all the kids were living in a single-parent house, except one, who, by the way, their parents are still married, as far as I know, and us. I'm sorry they were all divorced, but I can't speak to that. I can't, maybe there was good situations why the woman had to get out of that situation. Maybe there were parents who were never married. Maybe dad abandoned. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know all the situations. Don't you want to be the one? Don't you want to be the, being there for your kids? Show them happy marriage, because if the kids get a chance to vote, they never vote for divorce. Ever. 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 Well, we're fighting all the time, and it's better. You know, my kids have been really rock solid through this whole... Knock it off. That's just you rationalizing you're crazy. No. Kids vote. Parents stay together. And by the way, as far as that fighting stuff, knock it off. Be good parents. Be good to each other. Stop being such selfish. One of you budge. One of you give. We had a little tiff last night. Just a little tiny blip on the... No, we really did. I was just frustrated online trying to buy a new stove, and it's not working right. Maybe another few hundred bucks, and you, I ain't going to tell you the brand, but if they don't come good on it, I'll tell you the brand, okay? So I'm online trying to do this, what model number, oh my God, where's the stupid, and so she's saying, well, you know, and suddenly I said, I don't need it, and so I speak sharply at it, because I was hating the company in the process, trying to tell them what was wrong, and I kind of spilled some over on her, and she answered me back, like, what, you know, something, and we just kind of like, that was it. Then I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, and then later I said, no, I'm really sorry, I was just being an idiot, this thing's making me crazy, and she said, no, I should have de-escalated, no, don't apologize, let me apologize, it was my, do you have that situation where, like, you're both owning your stuff? Because, listen, that was all me. Should she have de-escalated? Oh, if I didn't answer like a crazy man, she wouldn't have had that. That was me, okay? But you're doing that. You're like, that's why I said, you got to learn how to forgive from your heart, because you're going to need that card. You're going to need to play that a lot. Why? Because we're human beings. The fact that you guys are doing really good doesn't, that amazes me. The fact that people are struggling, that doesn't amaze me. The fact that some marriages are doing really well, that amazes me. Why? You got two sinners in the same house? I said it before, it's like two cats in a sack. Watch the fur fly. Who thought that was a good idea? Putting them together. God did, and he said, this is how you want to behave, and it'll work, trust me. And it does when we work it. And even us, 37 years, we're still working out, still figuring it out, still learning how not to be a selfish jerk. She still learned how to defer to me. I mean, it's an ongoing thing all together, all the time. But as far as children, now, okay, I'm not working notes, and so some things are floating around. Let me come back to this point, because I was saying I was going to do it. My parents, when you say mom and dad, I cringe. I know, a lot of people in here are in that category. So what do you do how do we honor the unhonorable? My parents they were not worthy of any honor. Trust me on that. I do. I believe you. I believe you. So what do you do in a situation like that? Would it help if I told you I don't know? I mean, really, sometimes things are so broken. I will tell you this, forgiveness, which is both a point in time and a process. I forgive you. I'm still really angry about what happened, but I forgive. And then I know how Satan is. I know how he is. Oh, you didn't really forgive. Look at you. You're still seething. You're still, shut up. I forgave. I forgave in faith. And instead of the process, I have to come back to that critical juncture, that when I actually did that, I have to remember that, and I have to re-forgive, and I have to visit there a lot of times. And maybe what happened, I'll never, ever, ever feel good about it, but I'm not going to be bitter. I always say, then you have two problems, what happened and bitterness. You're going to live first to last with what happened, right? You can't change the past. Wish you could. So I will say, part of honor is forgiveness. Part of it is like, if you get a chance to do good to them, even though they did poorly to you, do good. I mean, the Bible teaches that all the way through the book. Listen, those who are your enemies, do good to them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And then, this is the spirit of godly. I'm a spirit-filled child, right? I'm a child of God first, and my dad's gone, I'm a child of my mom. What does that look like? Well, she's honorable. She's a good lady. I'm telling you, she doesn't claim to be born again. She's religion. So what do I do in the face of all that? I'm not going to obey, but I'm going to honor. I'm going to love her. I'm going to be a devoted son. What does that look like? I don't know. It looks like taking her to her doctor's appointment. It looks like this week having her over for boiled dinner. She's Irish. I'm half Irish. You never, Casper's acting. I was like, you ain't Irish. Like, kind of mom too, you know. Think it all the way through. Mom, like red hair and freckles. Her maiden name is Kenny. Her dad is from the old country. I mean, Irish, okay? Had her over for boiled dinner because she loves that, and guess what? So do we. Is that honorable? I think that's one of the ways. If your parents are gone, like my dad's gone, How do you honor somebody who's gone? I don't know. Speak well of, you know, fond memories. I don't know. I'm working out those things myself. How do you honor people still alive? By treating them honorably. Well, I'm going to find her the very best nursing home and can't wait to put her in it and get the inheritance and stop it. You know, my sister and my brother-in-law have taken my mom in, and she lives with them. That's very honorable. That's a very honoring thing to do. And then, you know, how people are when they're set in their ways, can I say? You got to make allowances there. Mom ain't changing this point. She ain't. I tell you, I take mom out to eat, like, you know, Mother's Day or her birthday or something like that. She always wants to go to the same place. What's the name of it? Anglers in Newport. It's a fish joint, Anglers. It's okay. You know, it's okay. It ain't the best place I've ever eaten at. Not the worst by far. It's okay. That's what she goes. That's what she likes. Listen, it's her day, right? That's what I'm going to take her. And then she's going to eat what she's going to eat. It's going to be haddock every single time. Mom, try the trout. Trout's on special. I've never had trout. Mom, you're 80. What are you waiting for? She ain't changing. So what do? I stop being a pest. Don't bother her. Honor her. Do. Take her. Love her. Help her. Listen to her. Talk down to her. Because, you know, like, sometimes when people are old, sometimes there's a little bit of addled brain. Sometimes, you know, Alzheimer's, things of this nature. Because you want to always ridicule them, make fun of them. Just, no, none of that stuff. I always wanted to be that honorable son, even to your folks, even to your mom's stuff. So what does that look like on a day-to-day thing? You got the Spirit of God, don't you? You listen to the same God I listen to, don't you? You pray these things in and try to come up with ideas, and the Spirit of God can direct your life, can't he? This is so critical. If you're driving your own life, you are woefully inadequate for that mission, for that task. You are not, you can't end up anywhere good. I can't. I'm praying about everything. Lord, make this message go where it needs to go. Help me to say the things I'm supposed to say with the spirit that I'm supposed to say them in. Help people listen. Why? Because I know God is like awesome and I'm so not. And decisions I make, they're just decisions. Are they good decisions? I don't know. They're like anyone else's. Some good, some bad. If I make them Bible-based, they're going to be better. If God's leading me, he doesn't lead me in bad places. What do you want your life to look like? What do you want your child, your children to look like? It's not a mystery. It's an open book test. We do the things that honor God. We make the decisions that honor God, and we end up in a good place. Is that such a mystery? It really shouldn't be. Now, I'm talking to somebody here, and they're just sitting there like thinking, I'm not listening to any of this. I'm going to do what I want. You can't believe that's going to end up in a good place. That stubborn attitude says, God, I'm smarter than you. You really think that's going to work into a better place? You really think you're going to end up better for that choice? Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, I still dedicate to you our marriages. We want godly marriages because we want, as your word says, you want the next generation to be godly. And Lord, if it ain't about us as couple, let it at least be about our children. Help us make decisions that honor you. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Some of us need to repent in the worst way imaginable. Some of us, we haven't done even one thing your word has said. We're sowing the wind. We're going to reap the whirlwind. Lord, I don't want to see that happen to anybody under the sound of my voice at all. And Lord, your kingdom loves repentance. When we come to that place where we say, I was wrong, you're the Father who's looking for the repentant son walking down the road who runs out to meet him. And others would say, what are you wasting? He's wasted all this. But you're saying, no, kill the fatted calf. It's time to celebrate. Ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Let's go. And I pray you'd impress that upon us, Lord, that none of us would be outside your gracious mercy and that none of us would try to live there. Lord, bless. This is your word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is your word. I pray you'd bless it, that it might make us who you want us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.